Hello and welcome to the Raising Kellen podcast. My name is Mar Schneider and I blog at raisingkellen.org, where we curate resources for parents raising children with disabilities. As always, remember the content on this podcast is for your information only, and if you seek advice for your specific situation, to contact a trained professional. We have less than a month to go for Day at the Lake. This is our first live in-person event that brings together parents, teachers, and other service providers to learn about resources available in Dyersburg, Tennessee. This episode, as well as a legacy sponsor of Day at the Lake, is Anderson Consulting, your one-stop shop for your home and business IT needs. In today's episode 95, I chat with Rob Rubel, who is a financial planner. So put those feet up, grab a cup of coffee, and get ready for some awesome conversation. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the Raising Kellen podcast.
Hi, Marsh. Thank you for having me on today.
Guys, Rob Rubel is a certified financial planner, best-selling and award-winning author. His books include Financial Freedom for Special Needs Families, 30 Days to Your Special Needs Trust. He has been a contributing source for local and national media and is a sought-after speaker who regularly gives highly rated, entertaining, and informative workshops on special needs planning. His books, workshops, and educational talks help families plan for the future, preserve benefits, and achieve financial freedom. Rob has three children, and his middle daughter has Down syndrome. Rob is also president of Cascade Investment Group in Colorado Springs. Rob, I am just so excited to have you on. We are in the process of our own family journey of thinking of financial planning. And actually, to be honest, after reading your book, I realized this is something that's never too early to start. But having said that, can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into financial planning for families with children or persons with disabilities?
Marsh, I'd love to. I started as a financial planner as a second career about 22 years ago now, just shortly after, maybe shortly before, right around the same time that my son was born. And like I said, I have three children. I have a son who's about 21, almost 22. My daughter with Down syndrome, who's just under, is 20 years old, and then I have a 16-year-old as well. So I just started in the world of financial planning and sort of kind of knew what I was supposed to be doing for my family in a broad way. And then Sarah was born, and the journey all of a sudden changed in every way. The journey changed in terms of her health needs early on. The journey changed in terms of what her school was going to look like very early on. You know, we had mentioned when we talked another time about the need for therapy and things like that. A whole bunch of things that we didn't have to do for my son all of a sudden came into play for my daughter. And as a relatively new financial planner, I spent that first year trying to figure out how is life going to be different on the financial planning side as it would be than it would be for my son. And so I spent a year, and this was 21 years ago, the internet was around. There was information. It just was hard to find good information. Yeah. Today, it's a little bit opposite. Today, there's just almost too much information. But it took me that year, and I met with estate planning attorneys and CPAs and people from nonprofits to try to project just from my own curiosity and my own family's life what it was going to be and how it was going to be different. And so that was really the journey that started me down this road for financial planning for families with special needs members.
Rob, what income streams or benefits do persons with disabilities have once they turn 18?
One thing I learned really quickly, and I think we all hopefully know at this point, is that there's something called SSI, Supplemental Security Income. And you asked about income streams. I'm just going to change the wording a little bit to talk about benefit programs. As we know very early on, we have health benefits that come into play in almost every state in the country for people with disabilities. I live in Colorado, and so in like my health insurance is primary for my family, but Colorado has a supplemental insurance program for my family. So for working families, it's a way to continue to work but still get full health insurance and health care for somebody who's got some significant disabilities. Not every state covers it in the same way. So we talk about benefits, we talk about supplemental security income, SSI. We may also be talking about Social Security Disability Insurance, that is SSDI. I'll explain both of those in a second. And then we talk about Medicaid. And Medicaid is, I don't know if we should describe it as an umbrella or really as a bunch of different silos of programs. Medicaid tends to be a partnership between the federal government and each state, so it's different in each state. And Medicaid provides health insurance. That's what most people think about. Medicaid also pays for potentially host home care if our family members need to live in a host home or a group home or other nonprofit care that might be supporting our family members even if they live independently. Medicare tends to have programs that are supporting work or community-based involvement. So Medicare is a whole bunch of different things that come into it, and Medicare is really hugely important. And then, sorry, that's Medicaid. And then Medicare is potentially health insurance as well. So Medicaid is that funding stream that's so important to our families. And SSI is at the federal level of benefit, and I need to double check. It changes every year. I think it's $914 a month right now. So my daughter and family member and individuals who have a qualifying disability who are over the age of 18 and don't have what we call resources, basically any of their own assets or significant other income, are qualified to get around $900 a month from the federal government. Some states give extra. And then getting even $1 of SSI is this gateway to Medicaid-funded services. And so my daughter goes right now to a program where she is learning how to work in the restaurant and hospitality industry. And that is paid for partially by her school district and partially by funding through Medicaid. And so that's a program that's paid by Medicaid that she's eligible to get because she also qualifies for SSI. If she loses SSI, maybe she loses Medicaid. So we can go on and on and on and on. But the key ones are this income benefit is there, and that income benefit has the ability to access significant housing, medical, and community-based activities through Medicaid.
Okay, so SSI is a benefit that your child can receive if they don't have a certain income level, or and that it's irrespective of what their parents have or don't have. That is something once a child turns 18, they are eligible to apply for.
Correct. So you'll meet parents who have a family member under the age of 18 who will say, well, gee, my kiddo doesn't get any SSI and mine does. You'll meet parents. And so under 18, it'll depend on household income. But over 18, if that person has a qualifying disability and then doesn't have either income or assets over $2,000 or income over a certain monthly amount, yeah, then they qualify for SSI. That's an income benefit.
You mentioned SSDI. I'm not expecting like the nuts and the bolts, but just generally, how are those two programs separate from each other?
Yeah. SSDI, when we're working, you know, I'm a financial planner, investment person. I have a day job. I'm working. If you work a certain amount of what they call quarters, basically a couple of, I think it's 4 years. I can't remember what it is. All along the time we're working, we are paying into a program called SSDI. It's a kind of disability insurance that we're paying for while we work. So if I become disabled, I get hit by a car or something, and I can't work, then I have SSDI that pays me a monthly amount. Our family members may receive our SSDI payments under certain circumstances, which we don't need to get into, but there are times where people both get both SSDI and SSI, although it's more common just to get SSI.
Rob, there's so many rules and regulations that come into financial planning for persons with disabilities. Now, you often hear of something called a special needs trust. Can you tell us more about this, please?
Yeah, it's a great question. And again, we always come back to SSI. It seems to me that's like the most important thing. It doesn't have to be, but for the most part, it's easiest if we have if we don't, but our family members have SSI. So I'll use my daughter. She's 20 years old. As long as she has less than $2,000 in her name and income under a certain amount, she can qualify based on her disability, and she does, and she gets a monthly income from that into her account. That $2,000 is an important number to remember, and just that concept that she can't have too much money. And by the way, that's been the same number since these programs started. It has not been indexed to inflation. It's enforced poverty, but that's a whole different issue we're not going to get into today. So $2,000. So what happens if I were to pass away? And let's say I have $100,000. But make it easier. I have $120,000 and I have three kids. And if I leave my money to each of my three kids, they each get $40,000. Okay, so maybe that's okay for my other two children because they're not getting any government benefits. But for my daughter who has Down syndrome, that $40,000 is, you know, more than $2,000. And so she's then off of her government benefits unless she takes a couple of steps either to pay it or get rid of it. There's different things she can do. But so that's what would happen. And now imagine it were $400,000. It would take her, you know, we'd be wasting family assets. So instead, and we find good estate planning attorneys, and estate planning attorney is somebody that helps with a will and a trust and all those kinds of things. And so in all my documents, instead of Rob's money going to Sarah, my money going to my daughter with Down syndrome, it goes into this thing called the special needs trust. And the special needs trust is an exempt asset if it's all done correctly. So that $40,000 or $400,000 or $4 million, however much somebody might have, can go into that trust, and it doesn't count towards that $2,000 resource limit. It stays outside of it. And so what it does is it says, okay, U.S. government, we have SSI and Medicaid, and those are fantastic programs, but they don't really do enough. They don't help with quality of life. I don't know any city or town in the country where you can live on $900 a month these days, right? And then still have money for clothing and for going to the movies and books and telephones and, you know, all that stuff that makes life enriching and enjoyable. So what we do is, as parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles, instead of the money that we might want to leave directly to our family member with a disability, we leave it in this thing called the special needs trust. That trust can then be used to spend for clothing and trips to Disney and cell phones and subscriptions to magazines. I know nobody gets magazines anymore, but my kids still like them. And then we can still have the government resources for housing support, food support, and medical. So the special needs trust is a key planning tool. That's why I wrote this book, 30 Days to Your Special Needs Trust, as a way just to encourage people to go. You don't have to spend forever on your estate plan. You can work with your team or find a good attorney, and within really 30 to 45 days, have it done. Know that if something were to happen unexpectedly to you, you've helped preserve a high quality of life for your family member with special needs. The financial planning part we have to do around it, but that part just needs to get done.
I know, because the major concern with me would be like medical care, which is skyrocketing every year. And I mean, you just don't want your child or your young adult with a disability or person with a disability not to have medical coverage.
Just to kind of jump, if it's okay to jump in on that, my daughter had heart surgery at 6 months old. She was in the hospital for 6 months and 6 weeks, had heart surgery at 6 months. We didn't know if she was going to need heart surgery again. Her medical bills her first year were, you know, skyrocketing. And if we had to have her pay for a heart surgery when she's 24 years old, which it doesn't look like she's going to have, and she didn't have health insurance. That's a financial crisis. It's an emotional crisis for the family. And so preserving those benefits is just so crucial, like I said, even if it's just for health insurance. And there's other reasons to do it too.
Saving the benefits. Got you. Rob, what advice would you generally have for parents raising children with disabilities? Can you share some pearls of wisdom with us just from your lived experience?
Yeah, I'll try. I'm definitely an expert on, I think I'm an expert on financial planning and estate planning. Parenting, maybe the jury is still out a little bit, but anyway, we'll see. For me, it has been to try to enjoy those positive moments as they come across. I have times where I'm concerned about the future. Will my daughter have the ability to live semi-independently and make friends and have a meaningful life? And there's times where we have health emergencies that have come up, or there's times where she's, and it's true for my other kids too, so it's not just for her. But then there are other times where, we'll be having a family dinner and we'll be having a conversation. And sometimes we think she's not paying attention and she'll just jump in and say something. She has a very good vocabulary, but something that's just like right word, right time that we didn't know she necessarily knew how that word was supposed to be used. And so we'll just break out laughing. And I wish I would sit down and document them. But the memory of those times where we just have such a good time as a family as a result, it carries me through some of those other times. So I think that's, I don't know if there's a parenting lesson in there, but it is just that when we get the good times, enjoy them, because we never know when they're going to come back. They frequently do come back, and they're just so great to be able to look back upon.
I just want to add this as well. There was a snippet that was in a bit of communication we shared, and it's to where you say future planning helps you to live a great life today. And I thought, how apt is that? I know there's always that worry we may have as parents raising children with disabilities, but that right there, I think, is key to take some of that load off when you're proactive and kind of, just lean into it and get things set up as best as you can for your loved one.
I see it all the time that we carry lots of different stress with us, family stress, future stress, day to day. We also have the financial stress and this kind of legal part of we're doing the right thing. People just carry it around. And what we see is when people take some simple actions, simple to me because I do it all the time, take actions, get a trust in place, meet with a financial planner, start to take steps to get out of debt, have emergency funds, all those financial techniques that what we need to do to feel more comfortable about our financial life, they reduce that financial stress and that feeling like we're not doing something. And it provides us space to be able to just think and enjoy other parts of life a little bit. So I'm glad that you brought that up. I didn't think of that so much as a parenting tip. Certainly, as people move ahead with their financial life and get more into it and take action, it reduces that stress to the point where we can focus on things that are even more meaningful, day-to-day care of our family members, day-to-day work on our career. And we just see it all the time. So if you're kind of listening to this, trying to think what to do next, you won't believe how much you'll reduce your stress and kind of free up your mental game a little bit if you do meet with an attorney, a financial planner, and get moving a little bit.
So we're just going to be rounding off this conversation. But before we do that, can you just tell us about your book as well as other resources that parents may find beneficial, and how would they find you, Rob?
Yeah, appreciate that. You can find me at robrubel.com, and I'll spell it because there's a silent W, R-O-B, Rubel.com. You can search my name, Rob Rubel, at Amazon for my books. And then also we've got, I have my own podcast and you were just on it. That is available both at YouTube, at Facebook, at Ask Rob Rubel. And the books, you've mentioned the books already. two of them are the ones that people really use the most. One is financial freedom for special needs families. And that's kind of a step-by-step of how do you get out of debt and all the way to save for your own retirement and to fund a trust. And then 30 days to your special needs trust just gives you the basic tools of, you know, why do you need a special needs trust? What steps do you need to do as a parent? And what stuff can you just let the attorneys write? So those are the two books. The other one's on life insurance, which can be an important tool as well. But nobody wants to buy that book because nobody wants to talk about life insurance.
Rob, thank you so much for joining us today. And just thank you for all just sharing your knowledge with the listeners. And I think this is a perfect segue for those folks that want to find out more. Check out Rob's book as well as his podcast. Rob, you have a great evening and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Marsh.
Thank you for listening along on today's podcast. For more information about Day at the Lake, be sure to check out the RaisingKellen.org website and join our Facebook page for up-to-date information. Again, thank you to Anderson Consulting for your legacy sponsorship of Day at the Lake. We sincerely appreciate a rate and review of today's episode on your podcast platform. And as always, remember, get to the top of your mountain. This is Marsh Naidu signing off.